When Ellington police arrived at the debate home 2 days before Christmas in 2015, they were greeted with a shocking scene. Richard DeBate was lying on the living room floor, zip-tied to a folding chair that lay on top of him. His wife, Connie, lay dead, shot twice in the other room. The story Richard would tell police was terrifying. It was the story of a 6'2" masked intruder with a voice like Vin Diesel's. A man who had threatened the DeBate family if Richard did not give him his money and the PIN numbers to his bank and credit cards. A man who would discover that Connie had returned home from her spin class at the local YMCA and would shoot her twice, leaving her dead and leaving Richard fighting the man off with a blowtorch. A story that seemed like something that was too crazy to be true, and investigators quickly started to think the same thing. Was Connie DeBate murdered by a Vin Diesel-sounding masked intruder? Or was Richard DeBate telling a story that was completely nuts? Hi, I'm your host, Missy, and I'm about to take you on a wild ride. Stories with plot twists, shocking endings, and unbelievable truths. Trust me when I tell you that this story is nuts. Richard and Connie DeBate had what seemed like the perfect marriage. They lived in an upscale home in Ellington, Connecticut, and they had been married for the past 12 years. They also had two children, RJ, age 9, and Connor, age 6. But on the morning of December 23rd, 2015, just 2 days before Christmas, the DeBate's perfect life would be turned into a complete nightmare. Richard, or Rick as we'll call him for the rest of this episode, would recall getting up and ready for work at around 8:10 a.m. that morning. Rick would bring his boys down to their bus stop and then return to the house to finish getting ready and put his work shirt on. Connie would also be getting ready for the 9 a.m. spin class she liked to attend at her local YMCA. As Rick watched his wife get ready, he told her that maybe she should call the YMCA and see if her class had been canceled that morning, since it was so close to the holiday. But she didn't call and decided to try to go to class anyway. Rick would leave the home shortly after that, and he would watch as Connie backed out of the driveway right after him. Rick is only driving around for about 5 minutes when he realizes that he does not have the laptop that he needs for work. It is also at this exact same time that Rick sees he's received an alert from the security system that they actually have in their home. So he pulls off to the side of the road to send an email to his boss to let him know that he needs to return home to check on the house due to this alert. Although when Rick does return home, he isn't particularly worried about the alert as he goes right into his house and starts to make coffee right away instead. It's then when Rick hears a noise. Assuming the noise is just the cat, Rick does decide, though, he needs to figure out where this noise is coming from. So he makes his way up to the stairs and into the master bedroom, where he discovers not only is the closet door open a crack, but there's also a light coming from the inside of the closet. Rick goes to open the door and is in utter shock when he discovers a man who is 6'2", wearing camouflage and a mask, rummaging through the DeBate closet. The masked man is holding a 5-inch silver-bladed knife, and the man quickly threatens Rick with a voice like actor Vin Diesel's, telling him to give him his wallet and the PIN numbers to his credit cards, or the man will wait for his wife and children to return home. Rick is surprised, but probably even more surprised by the sound that he now hears downstairs. The sound of the garage door opening, as well as the door to the house. It wasn't a sound that Rick expected, and it seemed like Connie's class had indeed been canceled for that day because she was arriving home far earlier than expected at 9:23 a.m. In a panic, Rick calls down to his wife, Connie, that an intruder is in the home, and he tells her to run He hears Connie scramble, but instead of running outside like he told her to, he hears Connie run down the basement steps. Rick assumes that Connie's going to grab the .357 Magnum that he keeps locked in a safe in the basement, the gun that they had recently purchased for protection. Maybe Connie, who hates guns, is going to try to fight off the intruder. The strange man, now knowing that Connie's in the house, grabs Rick by the wrist and, using what Rick would later describe as a pressure point trick, sends Rick to the floor as the knife-wielding man chases Connie into the basement. Rick is able to get back up, but then in pursuit of the man, falls at the bottom of the stairs. He once again gets up and makes his way into the darkened basement, which is far too dark for Rick to see exactly what is going on right away. It is there that he sees Connie. She's facing Rick and facing away from the intruder. The man has the .357 Magnum and shoots the gun. Everything happens in a blur, Rick would say. He is knocked to the floor, his ears ringing. Connie has been shot twice, once in the abdomen and once in the back of the head. The intruder isn't done yet, though. He once again uses the pressure point trick to make Rick get up and lead him to a metal folding chair that was located in the basement. He places a zip tie around Rick's neck, and then he zip ties one of Rick's arms and one of Rick's legs to the metal chair. Next, he takes a box cutter and begins slicing at Rick, leaving cuts on his legs, his shoulder, and the top of his head. The man would then grab papers he found in the basement and place them in a cardboard box. He would take a propane torch he'd also found in the basement and start the papers on fire, in some odd attempt to perhaps start a fire. The intruder would then take the propane torch to Rick's leg, attempting to burn him as well. Rick would say that this is when he saw his chance. Noticing that the torch was in the on position, he would push the torch upwards and toward the intruder's face, where he would successfully manage to burn it. The man, now injured, would run off, leaving Rick zip-tied to the folding chair. Rick would manage to crawl back up the stairs and find his key fob, setting off the security system. He would also grab his phone that was still on the counter and call 911. When police arrive at the DeBate home, they would find Rick laying on his right side, still zip-tied to the metal chair, with the chair laying on top of him. Immediately, they would call in a canine unit in order to sniff out where the intruder had gone, but they had zero luck in finding the scent of the person who had broken into the home. In fact, one dog, a dog named Rocky, led investigators right to the back of the ambulance where Rick DeBate was being treated for, quote, superficial wounds. Rick's wallet was found in the grass in the backyard, and the DeBate home hadn't even looked as though there had been a struggle at all. Rick is treated in the hospital for his wounds, and police are quick to start to question his version of events that continue to change. Now, if you thought that the above story was completely crazy, you weren't the only one. Investigators also don't believe the story of the masked intruder with the Vin Diesel voice who killed Connie, but who Rick fought off with a blowtorch. Rick DeBate is interrogated and, according to police, shows no emotion, nor does he ask about his wife while he is questioned. When police ask if the couple had any problems, he stated that Connie had been emotional lately, but she was getting over it. Police are also very quick to learn about a woman named Sarah, a high school friend of Rick's, that they would discover Rick had been having an on-again, off-again relationship with for the past 7 years. But that wasn't all. Not only was Rick having an affair, but Sarah was also pregnant, being due the later part of the next February. At first, Rick told police that this entire thing was planned and that Connie knew about it. In fact, the whole thing was Connie's idea. According to Rick, Connie had wanted to have another child, except for due to medical reasons, she couldn't. Rick also knew that Sarah wanted to have a child, and Sarah was single and had no one to have a child with. And so they concocted this idea. Rick would get Sarah pregnant, and then him and Connie could raise the baby, which then actually turned into maybe all three of them raising the baby together. However, that story changed as well, when later Rick would claim that even though he and Sarah had talked about having a baby. It was unplanned. He would then later just say that the whole thing was like a soap opera. Police are forced to let Rick go, since they don't have any solid evidence that he is responsible for Connie's death. However, they are certain that Rick had something to do with it, and so they continue to look into Rick and Connie's relationship, and they soon discover that the debates weren't as happy or as perfect as their friends and family had believed their relationship to be. As detectives took a deep dive into Rick and Connie's marriage, they found several things that pointed at just why Rick might have been the person responsible for Connie's death. Just a year prior, Connie had made a note on her phone about just how unhappy she actually was in her relationship, talking about all of the reasons for a divorce that she was obviously thinking about getting. Not only did she mention that Rick was unsupportive when she needed him, but he was also allegedly terrible with money. And while Connie was the breadwinner, it seemed as though Rick was a ruthless spender. The two would often fight about money as well. In October of 2015, just 2 months before the murder, Connie had gone out to her car to find that the tailpipes had been stuffed with yellow rags. Shortly after that incident, Rick's windshield had also been smashed. Worried that someone might be after the couple, Rick brought a .357 Magnum that he would lock up in a safe in the basement. The DeBates had also purchased a video surveillance camera, which hadn't yet been installed by the time of the murder. And then there was Rick's financial situation. Rick had in fact taken out a secret credit card in which he used to buy flowers and purchase stays at the local Motel 6 with his mistress Sarah. He also racked up to $1,200 at a local strip club. Rick had also recently stopped paying his own life insurance. But only 5 days after Connie was brutally murdered, Rick attempted to collect her life insurance payout of $515,000, but he was denied by the insurance company. In January of 2016, Rick does manage to withdraw more than $97,000 from an investment account that belonged to Connie. Detectives are piecing together a motive for why Rick would want to kill his wife, but what they needed was more proof. Proof that would come from an unexpected source. And that would be Connie DeBate's Fitbit. You see, if Connie had gone from the garage to the basement, it would have only been 125 steps she would have traveled. Instead, however, Connie's Fitbit for the day of the murder shows that from 9:18 a.m. to 10:05 a.m., she had taken 1,217 steps. Not only that, but between 9:40 a.m. and 9:46 a.m., Connie had been posting videos on her Facebook page. According to her social media posts and her Fitbit, Connie DeBate was still alive when Rick DeBate claims the intruder shot her in the home. After 6 months of investigation, police are able to submit a 50-page affidavit to arrest Rick DeBate on felony murder, evidence tampering, and giving false statements to police. Rick DeBate is arrested in April of 2016, where he will sit awaiting trial. Rick's trial was set to start in 2020, but due to the COVID-19 pandemic, it was postponed, not actually starting until the spring of 2022. When it did start, the trial only lasted 22 days, and it featured 600 pieces of evidence, as well as over 100 witnesses came to testify. Rick DeBate would be found guilty of the murder of his wife in May of 2022, and would be sentenced 60 years for the murder of Connie, plus another 5 years for tampering with evidence. Rick, who has maintained his innocence and still claims an intruder entered their home the morning of December 23rd, 2015, is planning to appeal his conviction. Connie's two sons are now teenagers and currently live with their aunt. As always, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this case. If you want to talk about this case or any other case that we've covered on this show, or a case you would like me to cover on the show, please go ahead and join that Facebook group if you haven't yet. It's facebook.com/thisstoryisnutspodcast. And I do want to point out, yes, this is the second case that I have covered where a Fitbit actually helped solve the crime. The first case being the story of Nikki Vanderhaeden. And if you haven't listened to that episode, go back in some of the older episodes, probably actually toward the front. And that is where you would find that episode. And I also right now just want to send out a great big shout out to Nicole. And thank you so much for the story suggestion. This was a very interesting story to cover. So thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for being such a great listener. If any of you have a story suggestion out there, something you want me to cover, send me an email. It's thisstoryisnuts@gmail.com. I'm always looking forward to hearing any of your story suggestions that you have for me. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's so good to be back, and I'm looking forward to giving you some more wonderful content throughout this year. So keep coming back every single Wednesday. Hopefully episodes drop at midnight. And until then, stay nutty, my friends. Stories Nuts was written and produced by Missy Reese, with music by Logan Reese off of Groovepad.